Hi, you're listening to The Cardigan, a special series from Selfie focusing on the intersection of psychology and self-care. I'm Kristen, a licensed therapist, a skilled catastrophizer, and mom of four.
And I'm Matthias, a licensed therapist, side-eye aficionado, and a dog dad.
We're going to be taking your mental health questions, chatting about our own journeys, and looking at psychology in the media.
We hope you learned something about yourself, the people you love, and the world of mental health. And maybe laugh a little along the way.
So go grab some tea.
And your favorite cardigan.
And we'll meet you on the couch. Hey guys, well today we are going to be taking a listener question about revenge procrastination. If you don't know what that is, it's when you stay up too late because you're upset that you didn't get to do the things you wanted to do during the day. Behaviors like that. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about psychology and pop culture. Specifically, what is a conservatorship? That's been in the news a lot with Britney Spears. We're going to be talking about what that is, why they're put in place, if they're good, if they're bad, indifferent, why they're sometimes necessary, but why this one went awry. We're also going to be bringing back something that I used to have on my blog, which was called the What I Want You to Know series. And this is a series for people who have unique circumstances to basically just tell their stories. So today we're going to hear a story from Amy Kim, and she's talking about her depression. So that's coming up later in the show. But first, I'm going to do a self-care check-in with Matthias. Hey, Matthias, how has your mental health been?
You know, we just got done with Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I had a very dear friend come visit me who lives like in Canada on the other side of the country. So like very far away.
Yeah.
And we had the best time, but I'm feeling the grief of goodbye, you know, just like the closeness of friendship. And like, I mean, he's one of those friends who's just like, you know, like a soul friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just makes the goodbye that much harder.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of grieving. I'm grieving the sadness of goodbye.
It's so hard. I think a lot of us now have, you know, our worlds have gotten a little smaller or bigger. I'm not sure which the right direction is, but a lot of us have really close friends that don't live nearby. Like, you know, it's different from, I think, our parents' generation where your friends were your local community.
Right.
A lot of us have friends in faraway places, and it just, there's moments where it breaks down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not breaks down, but just there's pain points.
Right. Yeah. That like, oh, I'm not going to be in your presence again for, you know, at best months.
Yeah.
But likely further than that. I mean,
yeah.
Especially if all this COVID stuff comes back, like,
gosh,
goodness,
I know.
Gracious. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a get together with my kind of best girlfriends end of October, and it was the same feeling of just like, this just really sucks.
Right. Well, and I think it also reopened those parts of like everything we've missed during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's some of the grief too, is like, oh my gosh, like I've deeply missed this.
Yes.
And so then going back into that, you know, in some senses, absence, like, yeah, it's just really complicated.
Gosh, and our Canadian friends, I mean, similarly, you know, one of my girlfriends I got together with was, I think, you know, Sarah Bessie also, but, you know, we couldn't see our friends in Canada for almost 2 years.
Right.
Because of the pandemic.
Right. Yeah. It's rough. It's rough. Yeah. But I mean, so yeah, so the grief, I don't know, on a positive, not that there needs to be a positive to mental health.
Spin it positive.
I did. You know, I think I mentioned a few weeks ago that I've kind of been working with this nutrition coach, this health at every size kind of stuff around my body. And something that has always been really hard for me is exercise.
Yeah.
And that kind of like, at least my approach to exercise, it's either all or nothing. Like,
same.
yeah. And so I've been doing a lot of work and finally got up the guts or the motivation to join a new gym.
Nice.
And try to go in with this mindset of I'm just going to move. So not like these grandiose goals of I'm going to transform my body or whatever, but just like I'm going here to move and let that movement be good. And I mean, it's going to be a struggle for me, but I'm really proud of myself.
That's awesome. It's, you know, I find that it's hard to do that in a gym because there is that gym culture of, we're not just here to like move our bodies and keep our mental health good. It's kind of like, we're here to, you know, make gains.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that keeps me out of a gym.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how it goes. This is one where it's like semi-private personal training and kind of like really small class sizes. And
that's
the people
nice.
I talked to seemed really incorrect. Like I told them, like, I'm going in with this kind of anti-diet. I'm trying to cultivate a new relationship with my body. Like, will y'all be okay with that? Like, do you
totally.
Have opposition to that? And right. they seemed very on board. I mean, again, we'll see. It was literally yesterday. I've been in one time. Like, we'll see where it goes. But I got in there. And that, you know, I've been working myself up for over a year at this point to try that. So
that's great. That's really good.
Yeah. How about you? How have you been?
Well, it's funny. You just reminded me that one of my goals this year was to take a dance class at my local community college, which I have done before, but it's been it was pre-kids.
Yeah.
So 16 years ago.
Okay.
So I'm a little rusty. A lot rusty. And, you know, there is that intimidation factor of like, I'll be the oldest in the class. Mm-hmm. I'll be the, you know, rustiest in the class. Like these, you know, the other people will be, it's a lot of dance majors in the dance classes and girls right out of high school. But it's just, you know, it's an affordable way to take a dance class. And so I'm supposed to sign up, and you just reminded me that yesterday was the day to sign up.
Oh, no.
Well, I can still do it if it's not full. Good. But what the irony is, I knew yesterday was the day to sign up because I signed up two of my children for classes at this college because they do, like, dual enrollment.
Sure.
So I sat there and signed two of my kids up and then did not even think to sign myself up, which is a metaphor for my entire life.
I mean, that's fair, but I believe in you. I believe that you can.
Like, it's not even like I thought like, oh, I should sign myself up too. Like, I literally didn't think of myself.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, that is everything. That's everything right there. But we had a good week. We had a good Thanksgiving. The kids and I traveled to Lisbon for the Thanksgiving break, and it was beautiful, and it was a pretty good trip. I always struggle with jet lag when I travel to Europe.
Yeah.
So I was really sleep deprived, still pretty sleep deprived because then I get turned around when I come back. But I had a really great trip with my kids, and I mean, not to be too sappy, but I am feeling very grateful, you know. Teens get a bad rap, and I know it's a really hard time for many parents, but it is, I'm finding it to be pretty awesome. And they're just really enjoyable. Truly. So
that sounds, I mean, I saw the pictures you were posting. It looked so fun.
Yeah. And like my kid, who's probably the most like, I don't know, hard to please and just wanted to stay home with friends, was like, this was my favorite trip we've ever taken. Aww. So I was like, yay.
Oh, that's so good.
So it was good. It was really good. But, you know, it's the usual of like a great trip and then you come back to like 800 emails. And right. Like, that, I'm not exaggerating. I have 800 emails.
Oh, no.
And, you know, just all the stuff that you missed when you were gone. Lots of mail.
Yeah.
But, you know, first world problems. It was a really fantastic trip. And I must highly recommend Lisbon. Very underrated city.
That's in Portugal, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Portugal is not a place I think of very often.
No, nobody does. I think it just kind of came on my radar because I know they have a very welcoming immigration policy. And so, you know, I've had friends muttering, questioning, and they are very vaccination compliant country.
Right.
But it's beautiful. It's really beautiful there. And I really liked the people. I liked everything about it. The food was good. The people were good. The architecture and art is amazing. It was really cool.
That sounds amazing. I did a sangria with drag queens who were based out of Portugal at the beginning of the pandemic.
Dude.
Where it was like everyone was on Zoom.
I know the one you're talking about.
You do?
Taste of Drag? Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Because it's so funny. I really, really wanted, they're doing it live now.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
They start next week. I was so bummed.
That is a bummer. They're amazing.
Yes. That is so funny.
That's hilarious. I think they're like one of the top rated Airbnb experiences in the world or something.
They are. And I was so bummed that we missed them by a week. So they do the sangria tasting that you did.
Yeah.
And then they do like full-on cooking classes.
Oh my gosh.
And then they have, you know, like a drag brunch.
Right.
So I was very sad to miss them. I can't believe you. That's so funny.
I love that. Yeah, it was a highlight of my of early pandemic.
I love it. So fun. So fun. Well, what do you have for two thumbs up this week?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a book recommendation.
Good.
I started reading, there's a little bit of a story here. I started reading this book a few months ago called A Little Life that I think was published around 2015. It's this horribly tragic book that you wouldn't recommend to anyone. But the writing, the prose was so stunningly beautiful that even though I decided to not read any more of the book about halfway through, I like put it down and was like, I cannot do it. I mean, it is a depressing book. Every other book that I picked up, I was like, well, I can't read this because it's not written well. Like it ruined, it ruined books for me. And I wanted to read a thriller. So I'm not a major Stephen King fan. And this is an old book of his, but 11/22/63, which is like this weird thrillery time travel. I mean, it's a book I would not typically read, but it's so good.
Interesting.
I'm probably about halfway done with it at this point. It's also a very hefty, long book, but it has me hooked, and which is saying a lot for a book that I'm really not interested in almost anything that's happening in it. Like, so that is my two thumbs up today. Is this book 11/22/63 by Stephen King?
Okay, I'll have to try that one. Are you a reader, or do you listen to audiobooks?
It depends. Mm-hmm. I'm reading this one, but that is, I go back and forth kind of depending on how much I have going on in life and, I do both, but.
Yeah, I do too, but I struggle with, I kind of wish that there was like a rule that you just got both, you know, if you bought a book,
yeah,
because I like, I would prefer to go back and forth, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like if I'm in bed, I want to read a book. But then there's times that the next day I want to pick up and like clean.
100%.
Yeah. Reading or listening.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. I am right there with you. And if there was a way that they would like just sync.
I know.
So your audiobook would sync to where you've read and you can just, oh my gosh. Yep.
I mean, you know where this is leading is the microchips in our brains.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Like maybe it would work out.
I mean, I would not be opposed to it. Like, just give it to me. Like,
if you can put a microchip that can keep my place in a book, and then if I forget my debit card, it would just be convenient.
It would be very convenient.
If you could just scan my forehead at Target, and I don't have to pull a card out. I don't know. I'm into
it. Give
it
to me. Yep, I am too. Let's go. Here we go. What about you? What is...
So, I have a recommendation. I'm not sure that this will be very relevant for you, but I wear dresses all the time, all the time, big dress wearer. And I like to have, with certain dresses, I like to have like a bit of a bike short situation going on underneath.
Sure. Yeah.
But I don't want Spanx. I don't want a sausage roll myself. You know, right. I'm not, I'm past trying to make everything look smooth, you know, just whatever. I have a body with shape to it. But I did find these wonderful little shorts, little skimmer shorts that you can wear under skirts that have, like, they're not compression at all. They're just comfortable. They're from this company called True Kind, and they're like seamless, and they feel like you're not wearing anything. But, you know, if a breeze comes by, you're not going to be exposing everything.
Sure.
So highly recommend. And they're interesting. They're like a one size fits most situation, which I was like, what is this? But I bought some, and then I bought some for my daughter, who's much smaller than I am. And like, they both somehow magically fit us perfectly.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's so cool.
All right. So in this episode, we are starting a new series. It is called What I Want You to Know. And this is a throwback to my early blog days. What, 15 years ago, when I used to do this series called What I Want You to Know, where I would ask people to write in letters about unique situations that they dealt with in life and what they wanted people to understand about that. So we have a listener submission for that. This one is from Amy Kim, and it's about depression.
If you have ever suffered from depression, whether it was circumstantial or you have a history of depression, you understand how painfully difficult it is just to get through each day. I heard one person describe depression as hell on earth. Others have shared how depression and anxiety can feel like a never-ending cycle. You become anxious about being anxious and depressed about being depressed. One of the greatest fears is you will forever feel this way. This was my greatest fear. I am fortunate to have known very early on I was exhibiting many symptoms of postpartum depression. Initially, when what I thought were just a couple of rough days turned into inability to fall and stay asleep, anxiety, fear, hopelessness, and uncontrollable crying all day long, I knew it was time to seek professional help. Here is a progression of some thoughts I began to have at this time. I am losing my mind. I do not know how I can do this another day. I'm never going to sleep again. How am I supposed to take care of my baby if I never sleep again? My husband is going to leave me because I am losing my mind, and I am not the same woman he married. Then I will have to be a single mom. I am not cut out to be a mother. I am a failure. I am incompetent. I am a terrible mother. I do not know what I am doing. I feel hopeless. I will feel hopeless forever. Perhaps I will be institutionalized. Any rational person could tell you these are all untrue, but these thoughts and others became scarily true to me, and I felt panicked. I could no longer keep it all together because I no longer knew how. And my inability to enjoy every moment made me feel guiltier by the minute. By the way, I am convinced that any mother who tells you to enjoy every minute is far removed from and has long forgotten the horror of sleep deprivation. I felt embarrassed and terrified about postpartum depression. Before having a baby, I was confident. I had always excelled in school from K through 12 all the way through graduate school. I had been successful in my career, quickly advancing from one position to the next. I prided myself in being an excellent worker and a fast learner. After having a baby, I felt defeated. Becoming a mom was clearly the hardest thing I have ever had to do. My life as I knew it was forever changed, and being a mother was something I needed to learn by doing. My mantra the early postpartum days was day by day. Seeing what a struggle it was for me to get through each day, my mom added, moment to moment, "Don't worry about the day. You just need to get through right now." Trying to discipline my mind to focus on the now instead of having anxiety about the unforeseeable future was so helpful. I did not know what the night would bring or what tomorrow would bring, but I knew what was happening right now, right in front of me. You will have some good days and you will have some bad days. At the onset of my postpartum depression, they were all bad days. I hadn't smiled or laughed in weeks. And one day around the fifth or sixth week mark, I had a good day. And I cried. I cried because I feared this would be my only good day for the rest of my life, and all the rest would continue to be bad days. But rest assured, as your little one grows, you will have better days, and eventually your good days will outnumber the bad ones. And the bad days do not mean you are taking a step back. Remember to celebrate your good days. you will get better.
Well, Amy, I am so grateful that you shared that story with us. And if you guys are interested in sharing a story for this series, we would love to hear it. You can check out our show notes for instructions on how to share a What I Want You to Know submission. All right, here is our listener question for the day. Are you ready for this one, Matthias?
I am very excited about this one. This one is real.
Well, I could have written this, but I didn't. So the listener question is, revenge procrastination. How do I stop staying up too late? I'm exhausted every day but can't stop. So explain revenge procrastination for people who are like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah. I mean, my understanding of it, and this is just from my own life, is that sense of like, or the way I even think about it is like, my time in bed sometimes is the only time I get to myself, or yeah. It feels like the only time I get to myself during a day.
Yes.
And so it's like, it's almost a sense of like, I know I am staying up so late. I'm watching TV. I'm doing all these things that I don't need to do. Like, yeah. They're not like adding any substance to my life. I'm watching shitty shows.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm not going to bed.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, that's some of it, is like that revenge procrastination of like, no, it's bad for me. Like, I am waking up. I am exhausted. I'm miserable. And yet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like a shame spiral. Like, you're in the midst. You know it's not good, but you're not stopping.
Well, and I think the revenge aspect of it is really your brain telling you, like, you've given me nothing today and I will take it now, you know? Like, if you can't provide me any sense of relaxation during the day. Or for me, as an introvert, a lot of times my revenge procrastination is almost like revenge introverting. Like, when I've given myself no alone time, then my brain is like, we're going to take it now. Now that it's 1 a.m. and everyone is asleep, now we're going to take the time because you gave us nothing. So, I think it is. I think that the impulse for revenge procrastination is a signal to us that we're not taking care of ourselves, or that we're not giving ourselves enough margin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That feels significantly true. I mean, those places of margin. But I think, I mean, at least in my experience of this, like, it is so easy to get caught in that cycle of like, why can't I stop this?
Yeah.
I know this is bad for me. I feel bad while I'm doing it. I'm not particularly getting any pleasure out of it. But why can't I stop? And I remember talking to my therapist about this probably 5 years ago at some, or somewhere around there. And he said to me like, well, why don't you just give yourself permission?
Yeah.
Like, what would happen if you were to just give yourself permission to stay up as late as you want, watch whatever you want, and like, can it be okay? And when I first heard that, I was like, no, like, that's not going to help anything. Like, how is that going to help? But I tried it. And it was pretty incredible to me of how quickly things shifted, because it didn't feel like I was in this like movement of scarcity anymore.
Yes.
It was like, I can literally do whatever I want. I can stay up as late as I want and I don't have to.
Yeah.
So I think both of those things, the margin and that, like, I mean, what would permission look like?
Well, it's funny because my therapist, in discussing this, cause this is a big issue for me as well, was encouraging me to give myself permission to kind of slack off during the day, you know? I mean, he was like, what if you just watched an hour of television in the middle of the day?
Yeah.
And I was like, I would never do that. Like, and he's like, why not? Like, why couldn't you just, you're home alone in an empty house. Why don't you take a break from work and introvert and do what you would do at night during the day? And I was just like, because I can't. Like, that's against the rules. Like, you know, daytime is working time. And so I think that whole permission thing is, it's both. It's like giving yourself permission to do it at night, but also like, do you need to give yourself permission during the day?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think a lot of us are staying up so late because we won't give ourselves permission to relax until we've done an unreasonable number of things on some to-do list, you know?
Totally. Right. Or we like get stuck in that work mode of where, you know, we're quote unquote working, but not actually doing anything.
Oh, I mean, that's my life. Like, right. And we, or we're halfway relaxing, but it's not real relaxing. We have a laptop open while we're watching television. We're multitasking in some bullshit way that is ineffective, you know? I think that's, you know, that's a part of it for me too, is like figuring out how to give your full attention to relaxing.
Yeah.
Because when you don't, you're going to have that impulse to revenge procrastinate also, because you didn't really, like, you weren't really present.
Right. It wasn't actually relaxation.
Yeah. Right. You had a nag the whole time, or you were pretending to be checking your emails the whole time, or.
Right. Yeah. Right, which, I mean, then feeds, I mean, I think that's what makes like this revenge procrastination that much harder, because often we can't turn it off even in those moments. Like, yeah.
So, I think too, you know, another one for me is like, and we talked about this. I mean, just like giving myself permission to like, I'm going to sit and watch 15 TikToks in a row on purpose. Yes.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
I'm going to choose to do that instead of sneaking that in or feeling bad about it or pretending that I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. It isn't. I mean, that permission thing to do it and then not feel the guilt.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
It's not. Mm-hmm. No. All right. Let's talk about conservatorship.
Yeah.
So this is in the news a ton right now. I mean, it's an interesting phenomena that so many people are learning about in this way, which to me is a very bastardized version of what a conservatorship should be.
Yeah. I mean, talk about that, Kristen. What should it look like?
Well, the you know, the setting in which I've seen conservatorships, number one, when you have a child who has an intellectual disability that would maybe preclude them from being able to fully run their own finances or, you know, things like that, right? So, you know, there are a lot of, you know, parents of kids with Down syndrome, something like that, that these are conversations that these parents have. Now, not right. Every parent decides to go that route. But generally speaking, a conservatorship would be, you would have different lanes of a conservatorship. So you might have guardianship. These words are used, I'm going to use them interchangeably, but they vary state to state. But you might have guardianship over finances, or you might have guardianship over medical care. And where that might come to play would be, you know, maybe you had a child that was severely mentally ill, that had made several suicide attempts. And, you know, as they move into adulthood, you don't want to be precluded from their mental health care, because that can get into a really bad situation of, right. You know, a kid who's in and out of psychiatric care, but then the parent can't, you know, has no permission to call and speak with the providers to provide contacts, things like that. So it would be acute cases, right? Like, not just like somebody who, you know, somebody who has some, you know, functional mental illness, but like it would be something pretty serious.
Right.
The other ways I've seen conservatorships occur, which I think is more the case of Britney Spears, is when you've got someone who has a lot of money and who has some mental health vulnerabilities that make them really vulnerable to being taken advantage of. So, right. I used to work in a high-end rehab. We had some celebrities come through that had massive addiction issues. And you would be surprised, like a number of them had conservatorships to make sure that people weren't coming into their lives with the intention of taking their money. Mm-hmm. Now, I am assuming that's why it was set up for her.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Right.
But I mean, what are your thoughts as you've kind of watched all of this play out in the public?
I mean, it's such an, in some ways, I think, as you're saying, like an extreme example watching kind of Britney Spears navigate this, watching the media navigate it, the whole, I mean, I was major team Free Britney. I adore Britney. But I think, I mean, again, we don't know the details of this, but it seems like there was exploitation happening.
Yes.
And I mean, frankly, abuse. Like, I mean, yes. it crossed that line. Again, I can't say for certain, but almost certainly crossed that line into really significant abuse.
Yeah.
And like monetary gain for nefarious purposes and, you know, issues of control. And I mean, it is horrific.
Yeah.
For something that can be, I mean, this is where we get on that almost tightrope line of it can be really helpful for certain people, can be really needed for certain people.
Well, and I mean, my hunch is it was needed for her at yes. some point in time. That's my hunch. Mm-hmm. What's really difficult about the whole Free Britney movement is that none of us know what her diagnosis is. That has right. been very heavily guarded. I mean, it's actually fascinating to me that it hasn't been leaked, mm-hmm. you know, but there are certainly things going on because this doesn't happen in a vacuum for this no. long, you know. Right. My hunch is that she has a diagnosis that would warrant a level of conservatorship, but not the level that she had. But then also, in my opinion, you should never have a family member with monetary conservatorship.
Right.
That should, and there is a whole line of work, which is just like people who are conservators mm-hmm. and who are supposed to be neutral and who are supposed to, you know, and generally speaking, these are people who, you know, they're also the same people who might do divorce mediation. Like, so hers was very odd, but I think it's going to be interesting to see what her life looks like without the guardrails on. Mm-hmm. I'm a little worried.
I mean, I am too. Like, I mean, I am all over Britney's Instagram.
Me too. Okay. So, I mean, from your...
And like,
girl, we're not diagnosing.
Choices. No, girl, but some choices.
But, you know, I mean, it's alarming. Her Instagram is alarming.
Yes, right.
And I feel like I've watched over the last year so many people crying, you know, conspiracy theory because they're like, this doesn't sound like her. She wouldn't post this. And it's like, no, this is her. Like this, mm-hmm. this like word salad is her.
Right.
That's right. Where she's at mentally. Mm-hmm. Not right. making a lot of sense.
Uh-huh. Right.
So.
Well, I mean, which is... I mean, the whole situation is heartbreaking.
It's so heartbreaking.
Right. And to see, I mean, those questions of, you know, what kind of care does she actually need? And is she getting it? And I mean, the whole thing is heartbreaking.
I know.
Yeah.
It's really sad. And I think, you know, the other elephant in the room is that she does not appear to have much custody, if at all, of her children.
Right, right.
So there's some serious stuff going on. And I hope that she will get the care she needs. And that's the scary part. And that's why conservatorships get set up sometimes, because you do have people who need care and don't want it, you know? I mean,
right.
We've all had the clients who need to be on a mood stabilizer, but they don't want to be on it. And then they go off and they're having psychotic breaks all the time. Mm-hmm. It's very tricky.
It's incredibly tricky.
Yeah.
And when it's high profile, it just adds that much more complexity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I wish her the best. And I hope that she has good people around her. I don't know about the boyfriend's motives. That all it all concerns me.
Same. I mean, I'm right there with you. Like, I love Brittany. and them right there with you on the deeply concerned.
I know.
Yeah.
I hope she's happy.
Me too.
I hope. And it seems like she is.
Yeah.
Yeah. She seems
thrilled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am very baffled by the posing.
Same.
And the repetitive, like, it's almost like, you know, when you like, you know, you make a post or you make a video and you do a couple takes and you pick the best one.
Right.
She's like, no, I'm going to put all the takes up. Right. I'm just going to consecutively put every take up in one post.
Every single one of them.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and I just always think about her gym that she burned down.
Yes. Yeah, that. And I think her words were something like, well, I started a fire in my gym, as one does. Right. Something like that. Like, you know, offhand. Like, you know, just burned my gym down.
That's one of my favorite videos I have ever seen. Is her explaining how she burned down her gym. Yep. Yeah. So.
Bless her heart. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we probably need to start a thread to talk about Brittany.
Selfie Facebook group.
I think that might be interesting. But we are, don't get us wrong, we are Team Brittany.
Yes.
And I'm glad that she's out from under her father, because that seemed really dysfunctional.
Yeah, that was, yeah, just not a good situation.
No. Yeah. All right. Well, I hope you guys will come meet up with us in our Selfie Facebook community on Facebook. If you have listener questions that you want us to answer, if you want to submit to our What I Want You to Know series, or if you just have general questions about life, it is a very wonderful community to get good answers on all of the things. Hey, thanks for listening.
Just a heads up, we're therapists, but we're not your therapists. This podcast is not a substitute for therapy, and by making it, we're not rendering psychological or other professional services. If you need therapy, we recommend you track down someone to help.
Join us online for more of the conversation in our Selfie Community Facebook group, or on Instagram at @selfiepodcast.